This is the order of battle!
Thanks for joining the Order of Battle podcast for another episode. Joel, Jason, and Sometimes A discuss collecting G.I. Joe, other 1/18 scale action figures, and in general, what sparks joy. It's a lot of things, but almost always toys. This is the Order of Battle podcast. As Alexander and I had mentioned on our last episode, Joel, it's been a while since you and I have had a chance to talk for more than about 5 minutes. So I hope the holidays were peaceful and kind to you and Nicole, and happy 2024, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a whirlwind of a few months, and it's kind of crazy. So when we were gearing up to record this, the last time my computer was on was the last time that you and I recorded. So it took my computer like quite a bit of time to fire up. It's been a while.
It had to come out of torpor. So to jump into the new year, by looking back at the last one, we were at 4 shows together. I did 7 shows. And then, of course, there's Armor 3, which we both purchased the goods for and watched it online with everybody else. So that's 8 full shows in 2023. And I always want to do more. Holy crap, that's a lot. It's a lot when you're not an active full-time vendor.
Yeah, we 4 shows for me in person, 2 of which kind of being very close to each other. It's a lot. I mean, it's kind of a funny thing that we'll get into when we kind of start talking probably about the 2024 goals or however we want to word it. But in these shows, 2, I stayed where I wanted to be, and 2, I spent more than I wanted to. It's kind of a funny thing to think if I and or you and everybody else could just exercise an ounce of self-control, it would be way more obtainable to travel to, toy meetups more often. But then at the same time, you're walking around a sales floor filled with stuff and there's no shipping and you can actually see it and touch it. So it's kind of an impossible thing.
It is when the good shit's there. We started the year with Winterfest, which of course we're going to start this year with as well. That's Kentuckiana Winterfest in Louisville, Kentucky. And then I did Toylanta just north of Atlanta, Georgia. And then ICCC, which I guess is a bit of a cheat. It's only about an hour from me. But, I got to see some of our toy friends like Trucker Nick. And then I got to go to dinner with Ron and Jenny, which is always a joy. From there, we did Joe Fest in Augusta, Georgia, both of us. And then the standard Kentuckiana, which is, again, in Louisville, but it's in July. And then Brian and Travis and their team put on Armor 3, which is online. So we didn't have to go anywhere, but we bought the gear kits, or I guess the armor kits, and we watched online with everybody else. I, last minute, went to Ohio for PowerCon, which I could talk about for days. And then both of us met up again in Des Moines, Iowa, in November for Assembly Required. That's a laundry list. It's a lot of shows. There's not a show on that I wouldn't recommend, although obviously ICCC is going to be the lowest on that totem pole because it's, I don't know, maybe, a fourth of a vendor for Joe's, and only Ron Rudat as the Joe guest. But it's a good Star Wars show, I guess. I don't know. How was your year with 4 shows? Because I know that's a lot for you.
I started off the year strong. I went to Winterfest last year. I set my smallest budget in years, and I knocked it out of the park. I stayed under budget. I got really good stuff. I was a super smart shopper. I still came home with one of the more expensive FSS figures that I wanted. So I kind of started off really strong. Joe Fest was, I don't want to say I totally blew it, but I'm realistically probably not driving much anymore. I'm just kind of too far away. That being said, when I had access to a vehicle and I knew I was coming, driving a vehicle from Augusta to Rochester, New York, you can kind of buy whatever you want. So I did that. And I actually drove to Summerfest and to, or to Kentuckiana and to Assembly Required. So Assembly Required, I kind of knew was, I already knew I was flying to this year's Winterfest. I'm 99% flying to you guys to ride to Joe Fest, which is a funny topic for in the future. Doesn't make sense logistically, but it makes sense from a friend and hangout standpoint. And just it's going to be a good time. And it makes the most sense considering how we operate and whatever. Yeah, this year was interesting.
So two good Joel and two on your bullshit Joel. out of the four shows, was there anything like super memorable in terms of what you brought home? Or I mean, I guess even outside of the show, was there anything that was just something like a crazy, like what is something memorable from 2023 in terms of your acquisitions?
2023 was an interesting year for me because I was trying really hard to rein it in for myself because I tend to overdo it a lot. And I had some incredible things fall my way. I want to give a special thank you to Greg from Anything Joe's because he was able to facilitate some crazy deals that he landed in on Facebook. And I was able to like fill out a ton of troop builders that are club figures. You know, I always talk about how I buy duplicates and I army build everything. But, you know, anybody who collects modern knows that club figures are not cheap. And some of them are super cool, like Toxo Vipers and Toxo Zombies only existed through the club. And they kind of fluctuate in price, but they're never that smart to army build.
And you got an opportunity.
So, yeah, I wound up getting a ton of those. I can actually truly say that I completed the Marvel run because I got the Transformers G.I. Joe crossover trade. I don't remember. You know what? Yes, I bought a second version of the yearbook because I had bought it in 2022, forgot about it, bought it again in 2023.
You can never have too many yearbooks, sure.
Well, when they are $75 a piece, I think one is enough. But also, I was able to, from what I understand, in trade paperback form, I was able to get all of the Action Force UK stuff prior to when they brought G.I. Joe into the comic.
That's fantastic.
So I'm kind of throwing off my part of my highlights are a very I'm taking your position here. I'm Mr. Paper.
Yeah, I'm no longer the comic book guy.
I mean, both of those endeavors were expensive, but as licenses change and things come in and out, I mean it was the right thing to do for me. I wanted these comics. Now, when will I have the time to read them? Who knows? But I have them. You know, I got that crazy Action Man figure, that unreleased 50th figure that's like, you know, I took a huge gamble on a lot of literal junk and he was just in there.
You have had some great grabs in 2023. I'm recalling all of these. We've talked about several of these here and I'm impressed. Like, this is a great amount of stuff that you've been able to add to the...
Yeah, I mean, I'm a very weird guy. When it comes to buying modern stuff, like I will go through phases of just buying piles and piles of incomplete figures that I have all these, you know, whatever visions of. So one day I'll make this and make that and whatever. But I'll toss it over to you after this. But a major highlight that kind of fits into a haul was meeting Alex at AR.
Yes.
He is currently in college and he's currently starting his own miniatures painting business. And we met at AR. He actually gave me a ride, which was awesome. And we were talking. It came up that he was into painting miniatures. And I was like, okay, well, cool. I'll swing by your booth and check it out. And, you know, you were at AR. Pretty much everybody there at one point was stopping and looking at his miniatures because they look factory. And, you know, because you have been dabbling in with the miniatures, they come gray. They don't come full color. So I was able to buy some heads from Agent Spoon. I left them with him. He sent them to me and they are exactly what I envisioned, and it is going to be amazing when I can actually get to all of my projects that I have started that are in boxes right now, because I'm just going to be sending him boxes and boxes of figures and heads, and I can actually really do a lot of the stuff that I have talked about for the last 5 years.
I do want to put it out there. Alex is on Instagram, and you can see all of his artwork there at One Up Painting. So spelled out, One Up Painting, like One Up Painting. The dude is fantastic. I've known him since he was in high school through Assembly Required and through him always helping and being around. He has always put both miniatures and action figures in their custom contests. He has been a major part of Assembly Required as a child, going to it as a teenager, helping, and now as an adult being a part of the team. So One Up Painting on Instagram. His artwork is incredible. He and I have talked painting and miniatures for years. He's good. So for me, it's funny because very little of my 2023 highlights in terms of what I got came from shows. A lot of fun stuff came from shows, but the only thing from a show this year that was part of my like, oh shit, I brought this home, were the custom heads that Mark II Design did for A and I that are 3 3/4. You know, he scanned our heads at Joe Fest, and then at Assembly Required, we walk up to the table and he has them on figures on a Desert Fox. And at the end of the show, he pulled the heads off the figures and handed them to me. We took them home, we put them on figures, and they have been in play. And I know they're hand-painted, you're not supposed to play with hand-painted, but screw that. A and I have been in play, and it's been amazing. You know, aside from that, for me, the biggest 3 3/4 get was the light blue anti-venom roadblock, which was an unproduced paint scheme. I didn't get the whole set. I know that Toy Department has a complete like boxed set. It's a little out of my range right now, but I got just roadblock and I love it. And then the 87 Sky Striker from Mark Seddon at Talking Joe's. So I guess that would also be a show get, even though I didn't buy it on the floor. we're seeing a trend here. We upgraded our Defiant. I was able to get one of Bob Breakin's small RoboSkull books. He had put it out there that he was making a small run and send him a message if you wanted one. I did. He mailed me the book without ever charging me. And so I didn't expect the book to arrive. And then one day it's here and I had to reach out to him. I was like, Bob, this book is amazing. I don't think I ever paid you. We had a really nice conversation after that, which I've never met Bob. We've never had him on here, but he is an amazing creator and one of our forefathers from the Action Force side. And, you know, our friends, Patty and Brian, are friends with him. So it was a great conversation. Aside from that, you know, it's the Sky Striker and the His Tank Haslabs. I know the Sky Strikers has a couple wonky problems, but I absolutely love it. I have one Cobra stickered, one Joe stickered. And the His Tank, I know you haven't opened yours, but holy shit, man, it is so good. You know, I could talk for a while about all the little things we picked up here and there, and I got some great stuff and some friends helped. But those are really, for me, just a very quick highlight. You know, Mark, speaking of Mark Seddon again, he brought the 87 Action Force Sky Striker in his bag on a plane across the ocean to hand it to me at Assembly Required, which was, it was the sweetest of moments. And I deeply appreciate that because there's two Action Force Sky Strikers that I need for my Sky Striker focus.
And let's face it, if you were to hunt those down on eBay, regardless of price, is the seller going to pack it to make it international? We don't know.
You hope so. But the postscript to this is that he found the 85 also. So I might be seeing that when he flies over again. My point here is that 2023 had a lot of stuff, but a few things were really very meaningful, right? Todd helped with the Defiant. Seddon helped with the Sky Striker. Mark helped with Figureheads. A beautiful conversation with Bob over his book. Another friend helped me get the Anti-Venom. It's unproduced, so I'm just not going further than that. But you know what I mean? Like, they're so...
You know, I'll highlight one more time, just, and I know Greg loves when people talk about him, but...
I'm going to cut all of Greg's stuff out. Screw that guy.
It was an insane... It was like, I want to say about a month worth of him dealing with this guy, digging stuff out that he wanted to sell because he was getting rid of Modern to reinvest in O-Ring. Greg and I were like speculating and like hoping because we'd see pictures of stuff. Some of the stuff would wind up being for sale. Some of it we never saw again. There was a point in time when him and I was talking to him and I was like, we should just try to pull a cluster of money together and we'll be gentlemen about it and we'll split it up appropriately. And again, you know, just in this mix of stuff, I was able to grab five or six club figures that I never thought I would get, not because they're so hard to find, but because if a figure kind of stinks, I have a hard time paying, you know, over $100 for a figure that like I know I'm not going to be that wooed with. And then there are certain club figures that are great and are just absurdly expensive, like Bombstrike. She's a very solid figure. And she, again, if you were to tell anybody in the community that if a figure based off the middle years was fetching the amount of money that she is, they'd laugh in your face. But it's true. And I had bought the parts to build a Marauder Bombstrike and I put her together, never glued her. And then she's somewhere in a box in the abyss of my basement. And then, you know, with this crazy month of chatting with, you know, what I wanted to say is Greg and I spent far more time talking in those 3 weeks on Messenger than we've ever talked, but it was awesome.
And we have an everyday group chat with him.
Yeah. So it's like the thrill of the hunt and like, we share the same excitement for G.I. Joe, but we collect two different toy lines. So you're always excited when I'm like, you're never going to believe what I got, but you don't always understand what it means when I show a figure other than like, oh, that looks cool. So like, you know, getting to really kind of go, being able to go super like in detail with Greg on all these, you know, modern era figures and then also getting them for like really great prices was like a true, I don't think I'll ever have an experience like that again. You know, I mean, I hope I do, but.
Well, you might. I mean. It's not like you or Greg are hanging up hat after that one. You still have Todd who sends you pictures and says, hey, what's this? But yeah, like those kind of, they feel like once in a lifetime moments and you hope that they're two or three or four times in a lifetime. They're really, really energizing. They can create a problem because you're chasing that high. It can also create a bit of sadness when they don't happen again, but holding on to just the joy of that moment beyond spending the money and opening the package, that's something really special. And I'm glad that you and Greg are able to hold on to that and have that as such an enormous highlight of 2023. And you're right. I am celebrating at full speed with both of you guys, but I don't know the way I would if it was 3 3/4.
You know, you and I are strategic when we talk about money, but the prices, it's always been a fun thing talking with you about prices because vintage prices and modern prices are very different. There are very few items in the modern run, if any, that compare to some of the quote unquote grail pieces or whatever you want to call it. But the vintage stuff that either falls apart or the vintage stuff that came pre-lost, like that fetch. I mean, you know, obviously the easy one is like the fantail railing. Everybody's, you know, oh, this. But it's like, I don't think there's anything in the modern one. I don't think there's a single item in now when I'm saying single as in not a box set, not this, that I'm talking a single item. I don't think there's anything in the modern world that could even come close to the fantail railing. So it's a very funny thing when I talk to you about a figure being expensive and you're like, no, I get it, but I wish that the most expensive thing I was chasing was that much money.
Yes, that's true. Most of what we want or need these days start at that point, which is why I don't pull as much as I used to, and that's okay. You know, to pivot a little bit, but also stay on sort of the highlights of 2023, we had a lot of episodes, and some I'm really proud of and I thought were great. You and I have had some great conversation with the mics turned on. But I think, you know, for me, my favorite two of the year were when Corey Cantaloupe and I sat down to go over PowerCon. Because, you know, I met Corey at Joe Fest. We had talked a little bit between Joe Fest and PowerCon. I got to room with him at PowerCon, and then he comes on and spends a while just BSing about a show that neither of us had been to before. He was working. I was unsleepingly, frenically hanging out at. That was one of my two favorite episodes of the year. And I wish you had been there. I know you had met Corey at Joe Fest, and you got to spend a lot of time talking to him and getting to know him really well, both there and at Assembly Required, which came after PowerCon. That one and sitting down with Michael Hill were my two favorite. Michael Hill was a completely different experience. With the magic of editing, what no one knows is how much computer or connectivity issues I was having while talking to Michael. And I was red in the face with embarrassment, feeling amateur as hell. And Michael graciously treating me as if there were no problems happening and just having a good time. And he and I have been able to chat a few times after that. And because of both of these guys' schedules, we had to record at times where you couldn't. And I'm hoping that we see Michael again at a show, whether Joe Fest or whether, I don't know. I want to see him at another show. I know he has some Transformer shows coming up. He mentioned a G.I. Joe show in the Northeast. I can't remember the name of it. And I know we're going to see Corey again. And I hope we can get Corey on at some other point, because he's a lot of fun to talk to. He's way more knowledgeable than you and I are about the process, because he is a professional in the process. But he's such an enthusiast. And I think what would be fun is that I am O-ring, you are 4-inch, he is a 6-inch guy. We could all argue and yell at each other and explain why the other two are wrong for a good hour and a half, I think. But those are my two favorite episodes of Order of Battle in 2023, even though there are many more that I enjoyed and I'm proud of and I thought were a lot of fun. I don't know if you have anything.
I don't have any specific, but there are a few. Like, this year has been kind of crazy for me. I was just kind of scrolling back, looking through my podcast feed, reading the titles, and realizing that there was a massive chunk of time where like work was just absolutely killing me. So I was like kind of MIA, and it kind of actually worked out perfect with all of the Operation Recall creators. It would kind of always land at a perfect time where we would get the chance to kind of have like an episode with no direction, and we could just kind of bullshit, and they would always be running late. There are a few that I can think of conversations, I can't think of the episode, but where we just got to like actually just kind of talk, and it almost felt like we weren't recording.
Yeah.
Without trudging up too much of the negative sides of 2023, but like the amount of like money that I got charged in such a super short amount of time was really, really kind of
jarring.
Well, it's kind of squeezing the love out of this hobby for me to an extent. And, I've always said that I wouldn't, you know, I don't need G.I. Joe to be on shelf to love this brand and to enjoy it, because I mean, I did it when the 50th stopped being a thing. I never stopped. I actually started collecting more insanely after that, because that's when I shifted jobs and had way more fun money. So it's kind of, I can kind of roll this into a 2024 thing, but it's like,
before we jump into a 2024 thing, I like where you're going with this, because I also have a few, like, I don't know if I want to call them regrets or apologies or I wish I had us for 2023, but it sounds like that's where you're going with this. If you're about to talk about 2023 and 6-inch.
Yeah. I mean, so to, and I'll pass the baton to you back in a second, but it, in a huge way, I wish I would have done this sooner, but before the last chunk of madness, I canceled everything and just reordered just one, because even with me not having that much joy in the 6-inch stuff, I still was in this mental fixation of I have to have two and five of this guy. And then it kind of hit like, man, you are buying True Builders that you don't open. I don't ever think that I'll get into like kit bashing modern or like the 6-inch stuff. I just don't know that I will. And that's perfectly fine because I have hundreds and hundreds of 4-inch figures that I've purchased just to pull apart. But to answer the question, yes, there's a couple moments I can think of where we got to like talk about just collecting. And generally it's after a show when we've got to like have that nice social reset and be like, oh yeah, like the bigger reason we're doing all this shit is because like, you know, 2 times a year I get to see Greg and Jaren. 4 times a year I get to see you, you know, and it's like one of those happens to be for a week, you know, which is crazy because
2 weeks this year.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, having those conversations where it's kind of reminds me what this brand has done for me as a person, not, you know, teaching me morals or whatever, but like friendships, like getting these friendships with people that I now talk to on a daily basis that I would never have known without G.I. Joe. And that's kind of been a thing for me this year when I'm feeling weighed down or like overwhelmed with trying to keep up with everything that's coming out, especially when I'm not having the best time with it. This year kind of reminded me when I needed it the most that like, oh yeah, I'm, you know, whether I get, you know, wind up on the phone with Cav for 3.5 hours and we're talking about all sorts of nonsense and dreams we wish could have come through the brand, or then you know, and then I generally will get off the phone with him and then call you and be like, you're never gonna believe this conversation. Listen to this idea that we just came up with. And but yeah, so I guess if you want to switch into the regrets of 2023.
I mean, shit, I think after that I should just yell and knowing is half the battle and hit the end of the episode. I don't know.
Well, we got to talk about 2024.
Oh, yeah. I love everything that you just said. I couldn't agree more. And some of the highlights for me in 2023 that weren't purchasing something were the few times that you and I both got to help some of the authors and the archivists in our community, whether we were scanning some items, taking pictures that are going to end up in books, whether we were having authors on to talk about, you know, their research and their efforts in writing and conversations and purchasing and putting everything together in a format that we all get to ingest and use to make us all smarter. All of that was deeply important, and I have a sense of pride and just pure beauty around us being able to both do that, both separately and together. We've both had our moments. That also goes into being able to, and it started in 2022, meet the content creators for Operation Recall. Those were the people that submitted ideas to Operation Recall that Kirk, Ron, Mark, and the team chose to move forward. And none of those original designs stayed the original design. They all went wildly left and right of center. But I got to sit down and record with several people in 2022. We started the year with a couple here in 2023, but this is where it leads into my regrets. I have 3 Operation Recall episodes that should have gone out in like April and May that I still haven't put out. And so I have to get those out. That's on me. They did an amazing job. They spent hours of their time talking to me about growing up with G.I. Joe, their love of G.I. Joe, their ideas that they submitted, whether it was a one and done, got lucky one shot, or whether they submitted three ideas, they spent their time and I've got to get those out. So that is one of my three biggest regrets of the year. Probably my largest regret is not getting those three episodes out. Because I didn't get those three episodes out, there's also some other content creators that I haven't even sat down with yet. So that snowball creates a different snowball. The other is that there are some interviews that we talked about doing in 2023 that I, for whatever personal reasons, didn't follow through, didn't set the schedule, and didn't get on. And one, because Hasbro said no. I guess the third regret, you mentioned Cav. Cav kicked off the G.I. Joe fan club, and I had the honor of getting to help with a lot of the live recordings that David Allen put together with Cav for that fan club. And looking back, I hope I wasn't too annoying. There is a hill that I am so willing to die on, and that is G.I. Joe will never be healthy until G.I. Joe is targeting children. And no matter how much product we get and how awesome things are and how great the community and the product and the 6-inch and the this and the, if we're not targeting kids, this is a hill I'm so willing to die on that I worry, and this is for David and Cav to really say yes or no on, but I worry that I was a little annoying in some of those recordings. And I haven't seen them because I don't think they've come out yet. Or if they have, I've missed them. But those are my big regrets for 2023. And so in 2024, I have three episodes I need to finish editing and publish. I need to finish the Operation Recall interviews. And we have some other interviews we got to get to. We still haven't talked to Jim Beard about his third DC Jones book, as an example. So while I'm talking about my regrets of 2023, they still bring hope for 2024. They still bring goals for 2024. I don't know if that makes sense or if that's helpful. The money side of it, the pre-ordering, the purchasing side of it, it's always going to be a struggle. There's so much out there, vintage and coming up, that we want and that we're chasing, and that we start to have FOMO and we start to get anxiety, and then we start to, and I think that's all of us. So everything you said about us getting together four times a year, spending at this point, between two small shows and two long shows, what is this, about 2.5 to 3 weeks a year hanging out together in person, which is really kind of special in our community when we live 17 hours apart. That is always why we're here. And that is always the balance that helps me whenever I am feeling anxious about a glut of toys that was supposed to come out from March to June of 2024 showing up in November of 2023. Ooh, it is certainly balanced with knowing that at the next show, the cost of that show is the cost of admission to shake hands and to break bread, to share drinks, clink glasses, whether alcoholic or non-alcoholic, and spend a few in-person hours talking shit, telling stories, sharing lies, and laughs. It's got really weird fast, isn't it?
I have one final button, I think, for 2023. I don't remember, actually. But the Art of G.I. Joe Omnibus. I can't remember if mine came in 2023 or 2024. I mean, we're only 7 days in to January. So I think I got mine in 2023. But either way,
it's a good bridge because that shit is incredible.
Yeah, it's what can we say that hasn't already been said? It's that thing is heavy. It is a massive, massive book. And it is, I've only flipped through it and it's awesome. And it is, the packaging is amazing. What a strong way to end the year / start the year. And then again, as we've, tiptoed around, and I'm sure we'll talk about it again on a future episode, but the first show of 2024 is right around the corner.
First show is just 3 weeks away.
Yeah. And I'm really, really looking forward to this like funny weekend where I get on a plane at 6 a.m. on Friday. I spend Friday night and Saturday at a G.I. Joe show with three guys that I talk to more than almost anybody else in my life. And then I get on a plane Saturday night and I'm back home. It's crazy.
Yeah. So Winterfest is in Louisville, Kentucky. It's the Kentuckiana Winterfest, or KY G.I. Joe show. It is run by Steve and Larry. Steve Stovall, I think, is kind of the face that we all know. He and his team and his partners. It's a July show. A couple years ago, they added the winter show, which was your first experience, and now you're a regular. It is where Destro's Toy Din really got its start as a vendor. It's where Alexander and I got into 12-inch. There is a lot of special about this show, whether it's the July version or the winter version. I would love to have Steve Stovall come back and talk more. You know, he talks about a line that we really don't know much about. Me more than you, but I'm nothing but an amateur when it comes to 12-inch. It is the weekend of the 27th. I don't remember the exact dates. 26, 27? It's the Friday, Saturday, right at the end of January. If you can make Louisville, Kentucky, it's fantastic. Podcast from the Pit is always there. Anything Joe's is always there. You and I are always there. Destro's Toy Den's always there. You know, so many great vendors are there, from all the way to like the Marx Cowboys and 12-inch G.I. Joe, all the way to modern. It's a great show. I don't know what to say that hasn't been said in many other episodes. So come out, be there, and enjoy the show. Because this is the winter one, Alexander and Todd both have school. So we will not be coming up Thursday like we normally do. We'll get up, you know, at 3 a.m. Friday. We'll drive over to Todd's and then we'll head up and we'll be there bright and early Friday morning. We can hit the antique toy mall. We can hang out with everybody. Todd was today talking about Gaddies, which I'm not going to eat. But, you know, for those of you that are willing to destroy the insides of your body with pizza that was bad in the 80s and is still bad today, then there's Gaddies for you. I can't wait to see everybody. I'm excited for it.
It is going to be an awesome time. And I can't wait to see whoever else shows up that we don't normally see, because I know the show has been gaining some traction.
It is growing, yes.
I'm excited to see what turns up. I mean, I'm coming with a suitcase and that's it. So I have to be smart. And I know I have friends that are willing to ship stuff for me, but please don't offer to do that. If I find something that I have to ship, I will certainly ask somebody. But again, please do not offer to ship anything for me.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, aside from that, you know, what other shows are a definite on your list for 2024? Not hopeful, but like 100%.
I mean, as of right now, I would say 100% both Kentucky shows, Joe Fest, and AR. I will be flying to three out of these four. The summer fest is undecided. Nicole's sister lives about an hour away from Louisville. So, you know, if we want to turn it into, you know, a couple days with her sister or something, maybe, you know, maybe that will work out. If not, I'll probably just fly again, which it is good because it saves me on the time of driving, which always ends up really being taxing on the drive home. The drive there is always fine, but the drive home after a weekend of being an insane person is generally very difficult. But also it kind of keeps me in check with spending, because again, gotta get it on an airplane. So, but no, those four shows are definite. I would, you know, if one of the Ohio shows that isn't necessarily Joe-centric lands on a weekend that I could swing, I would definitely love to check it out or to try one out.
I'm glad you brought that up. I have six shows that are definite, and Todd just tossed a seventh at me today, and that one is Xenia, Ohio. So maybe in March, that might be one you might want to consider. For me, you know, Winterfest, And then Toylanta is in Atlanta, Georgia, or north of Atlanta, Georgia. Then Xenia, Ohio, which is not a Joe-specific show, but I hear that it's enormous. Todd is definitely going to hit that one up. So he reminded me that of that show. So I need to look at the calendar and see what's what. Joe Fest isn't obvious. The July Kentuckiana is also an obvious. ICCC has moved its dates. So it was in like April in 2023. I guess it's in September. It's an hour from me, so I'll go. If Ron and Jenny continue to go to that show, then I'm also going to continue to spend time with them as well. And then Assembly Required. And Assembly Required in 2023, you know, I took Alexander for the first time, and he and I talked about that right after Christmas, before Christmas. We talked about it at some point. I intend to bring him again. So that's going to be a driving show for me unless plane tickets bottom out, because two tickets are expensive. The one that really saddens me here is PowerCon is not going to happen in 2024. And I loved PowerCon because it was the Indie Toy Expo. It was fantastic. And I would love to spend more time at it, or at least calmer time at it. I was there for such a short time that I was very frenetic and exhausted. So I'm sad that that one's not happening. I don't know if you have anything else on your list that you are hoping to do, but I have a large hopeful list.
I mean, I just want to make it to those four shows. And if by some freak chance we could figure out some sort of like non-toy show hangout, whether it be just, you know, you, me, and Todd, or if we figure out a way to wrangle in some other folks.
That would be amazing.
That would be a very fun thing to do. It's, you know, it's hard because everybody has families and a life and money. But if we can figure it out, that would be awesome. That's kind of a want that I have. You know, Greg and I have often joked about him getting me down to his house for a weekend just to sort his mess of accessories, because I have somehow my brain just holds on to who belongs to what in a way that I can't understand.
I mean, I do it for 3 3/4. I cannot for 4 inch. So good for
yes. you. You know, and even if we can't do a physical hang, I think it would be cool to schedule a digital hang, especially, you know, most of the people we talk to also do this. So it would be the second crossover event no one asked for. The first one was the last time we did it.
I have a laundry list. Heroes Con is my favorite comic book show of the year. The last time I was there was 2019. COVID hit and I haven't been back. I don't know how big it is now. I know it's still growing. It's 40 some odd years old at this point. The last time I was there was in a space of 250,000 square foot. Joe Fest is 40,000 square foot, to give you some context. 250,000 square foot is like 3 or 4 football fields. It's large. It is 40% artist or 40% vendor, 60% artist. I love it. And I haven't been back. My normal roommate is going this year. So I have the opportunity, but do I have the money? It is the week after Joe Fest. I would also love to go to SPX, which is in Baltimore or DC. I don't remember. It's Small Press Expo. It's another comic book show. Nothing to do with G.I. Joe. But I would love to go. And if I were to get up that way, I would love to see like Hitchcock and Croft and all of the Maryland or South PA folks. Retro Toy Con is a show that Todd went to this year without me, because it was the weekend after AR. I wasn't able to go this year. He had a blast. He had such a good time. And so he's talking that up. And I would love to try it out. And then Gen Con, which is a gaming convention in Indianapolis. PAX Unplugged, which is a gaming convention outside of Philly. And then finally, two that are more Joe specific, New Jersey Collector Convention and SoCal Joe Show. Both of these are shows that we hear great things about. Both of these are shows that we have lots of friends at. Both of these are shows that you and I have talked about for years. On top of all of that, I also want to take Alexander to the West Coast. And the West Coast being California, Washington, Canada, maybe Oregon, if I could afford it. But that's a big trip. That's an expensive trip. And the timing would also be right on top of Joe Fest. So cost-wise, I don't know that I can do that. But I want to add a few shows or a West Coast trip or something to 2024. And I don't think I'll be able to. But it is the money and the financing, the budgeting, the hopefulness, the tap dancing that I'm trying to do right now.
I think you and I could do New Jersey very cheap, very affordable, if one of us could figure out when it is not 2 weeks before the show.
Sure.
New Jersey, I would love to add, came close this year, but just had other stuff pop up that I couldn't swing it. But that being said, that is some ambitious, but would be also awesome things that you could do.
The other thing I want to say about 2024 in terms of shows, this is the 60th anniversary of G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe hit the shelves in 1964. 12-inch military action figure. G.I. Joe is 60 years old. And while my particular journey with G.I. Joe is only 40 years old, you got to celebrate the 60th. So if you haven't been to a show, this is the year to go. I don't know what Joe Fest is doing for the 60th. I don't know what Kentuckiana or Toylanta, because they are 12-inch, or they were originally 12-inch shows. I don't know what they're doing for the anniversary. I haven't seen what Brian is doing for Assembly Required, but you know that if anybody and any show is going to do something crazy for the 60th, it's Brian. We have already pre-ordered the classified soldier and the classified diver, and they've announced, or it's been leaked, that there's a Marine and a pilot. So this is the 60th, and I could not be more excited to experience the 60th anniversary of G.I. Joe with everyone. The same as last year, we experienced the 40th of A Real American Hero.
I mean, we do know at the very least with whatever theme Brian chooses for AR, his signage, his t-shirts, his accessories, his paperwork. I mean, I could list off his pens, his passes, his, Employee of the Month placards, whatever you want to call it, are going to be beautiful and so well done that it makes you kind of mad at Hasbro for not doing more. But, without tanking any chance of a future interview with anybody from Hasbro, we'll move past.
We are 7 days into January, and I've already had one hell of a G.I. Joe year. I started the year out from Todd getting a video game that I've searched for years, Pirates of Darkwater on Super Nintendo. And I know he had help from some other mutual friends securing that for me, and I couldn't be more pleased. And I know that's not G.I. Joe, and I said I've had a G.I. Joe year. But on top of that, Carson's book showed up. That book is incredible. I love it. It's great. I'm reading it right now. You know, my legs go numb, but I am enjoying that book. Our friend and the person who made our logo, Robert Rust, came into town and spent a whole day with A and I. We hung out for a while. I took him to Prince's Hot Chicken for lunch, took him downtown, drove him through a bunch of the city, and then we went back to the house. And we hung out for like 12 hours here in Nashville, and it was fantastic. I loved it, and I could not be more happy with that moment. And then today, Todd and I went up and looked at a large collection that we then loaded up, and some of it is being processed for Winterfest. Some will show up at Toylanta or Joe Fest, but Destro's Toy Den is bringing, I mean, we always bring the heat, but it's bringing a little extra after today. So I'm having a blast in already with 2024 G.I. Joeing, and I'm excited. I'm excited for the year. I'm excited to see you guys in 3 weeks.
Well, I have one little thing to cap off the episode. My 2024 is off to a funny start. I found a G.I. Joe book that I didn't know about. Not that big of a surprise, but you didn't know about it.
A little bit more of a surprise.
A huge surprise, because you know every weird and obscure piece of G.I. Joe printed media and own it, and sometimes 2 to 3 times. So I stopped at a comic shop, and actually this is kind of a nice full circle moment, because I believe we talked about this in a way, way early episode. I went to this comic shop about 30 minutes from my house in one of the far out suburbs. This is the comic shop where I found the Deadstock Order of Battle trade, where I sent you pictures, and the condition was so clean and good that you then were like, did this get reissued? And I didn't know. And you're Googling it frantically, and then it was just discovered that, no, somehow this shop had a Deadstock, Dead Mint issue of Order of Battle that I bought at, what year did that come out?
Shit, I don't even know.
There's not a UPC on it.
Yeah, I don't know when the trade came out. I know when the issues came out, and that was like 87.
I got this at 87 or 88 prices. I got it at sticker price, but I went to the same shop. I'm working way out far from my house for the next couple weeks, and I broke up my drive by stopping at that comic shop. And at this point, I don't really know what I'm looking for, because the beginning of the IDW trades post 155 are kind of chaotic to keep track of. And I see this book that is from 2011. That's Tales from the Cobra Wars. So I pull it out because I'm like, oh, this looks neat. And I flip it open, and it's a actual book. It's not a graphic novel. It's just words. And I send you like a picture and a little video. And you're like, is this yours? Do you own it? What is this? I was like, well, I kind of assumed you would be able to tell me what the hell this is. That was the only thing I bought from the shop, was to bring to Winterfest for you, is this weird book that seems to be a collection of stories written by a bunch of people.
I love a good anthology book. I'll read the hell out of it.
So I'm excited for you to read and review that, so I can decide if I should go and buy the second copy that they had.
I mean, you might as well. But I mean, sure. Yeah, I'll read it first.
Let's end it here. Thanks again for spending time with us discussing toys and other geeky things. Our logo was made by Rhino. The music we use was created by Self Help. You can find Joel on Instagram at Order of Battle Pod. Jason is on Twitter at Order of Battle PD. Our email is orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and thank you for your likes, comments, outreaches, and just being here with us.
This has been the Order of Battle.